Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And today we're talking about something very universal. It's everywhere, in time and space. It leaks out of your face, even. An intentional rhyme there.
But. Yeah, it is a shared emotional experience. Tears, it turns out, have quite a past, as we'll discuss. And the earliest written record of tears is found on Canaanite clay tablets dating from the 14th century B.C., Now, one of the fragments tells the story of the virgin goddess Anat, the sister of Baal, the earth god. And when she hears the news of her brother's death, the tablet says that she sated herself with weeping to drink tears like wine. And it's interesting that this first record that we have, or this first written record of it, is detailing tears of grief.
Yeah, because that's the thing about tears. They're obviously various types of tears. There are various connotations for weeping. I mean, throughout human history, we've seen good tears, bad tears, true tears, false tears, manly tears. I think it was Dennis Leary that had a stand-up bit about the only time it's acceptable for a man to cry, and this was like the 90s to date it, was during a sports movie in which the main character dies of some sort of illness.
And only then is permissible.
Yeah, only then is it permissible for a man to shed a tear, other than being poked in the eye or maced or something, obviously. But that's the thing about tears, and that's one of the reasons it makes for an interesting subject to discuss here, is because there is the purely biological aspect of it. There's the emotional aspect of it, and what happens when we try and untie all of this.
Right. We're going to look at that today. And first, we're going to look toward Papa Darwin. Now, in his book, The Expression of Emotions in Man and Animals, Charles Darwin listed three reasons for the secretion of tears. The first was pretty much about lubricating eyes. The second, he thought, was to keep the nostrils damp, quote, so that the inhaled air may be moist, and likewise to favor the power of smelling. And the third is to irrigate the eyes and flush out small particles. When it came to actual emotional crying, Darwin was a bit flummoxed. He said, quote, "We must look at weeping as an incidental result, as purposeless as the secretion of tears from a blow outside the eye."
Okay. You know, and you can sort of see where he's coming from there. He's approaching this from a very biological standpoint and saying, all right, anything else is just human garbage layered over the basic machinery.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know how Steven Pinker will talk about music as auditory cheesecake?
Yeah.
It's almost like the tears are the lacrimal cheesecake here.
lacrimal cheesecake. I like it.
Yeah, and yet there are reasons for it existing on an emotional level, and there are some really good theories out there. However, there are some really far-flung, wild ones, too.
Indeed. I like to think that Darwin, you know, he goes as far as his scientific background allowed him to in analyzing tears, and then he stopped. He stopped at the edge of that dark forest of the unknown. Others were very willing to just run willy-nilly into the forest with their torches of science and come up with their own sort of crazy theories. Particularly here I'm talking about aquatic ape hypothesis, or it's also known as aquatic ape theory, and this was first proposed by German pathologist Max Westenhofer in 1942. And the basic idea here, and I believe we discussed this in our mermaids episode a while back, is that the evolutionary ancestors of modern humans adapted to a semi-aquatic existence at one point. So we took on various aquatic features, and the theory holds, we still see echoes of those adaptations even in our modern form. Now, as this relates to tears, the basic idea is that emotional tears are seen only in humans and aquatic animals, and they evolved as a system to excrete excess salt. Because, again, we're talking about aquatic apes living in a saltwater environment, according to this theory. So where this falls apart in just, you know, one key area here is that while there is salt in human tears, there's not enough to really make it a suitable primary excretory exercise. The salt content is similar to blood plasma, so it doesn't really shake out as an example of, oh, that's extra salt leaving the body.
So as interesting as the aquatic ape theory is, it doesn't really help us in our understanding of the emotional side of tears. Mm-hmm. And adding to all of this confusion is the cultural baggage that tears carry, because in one era, crying would have been seen as pious or that kind of sensitivity. In another era, it would have looked like hysteria and weakness. And I'll give you an example, or maybe even a cultural example right now in which it's okay, that male crying that you had talked about related to sports. Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, recalled his, quote, hot tears of patriotic pride at the opening ceremony of the 2012 Summer Olympics. And he also described the end of the games as, quote, a tear-sodden, juddering climax, which, woo, that carries a lot of weight with it. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you look at psychiatric literature of the late 19th century, public waterworks were really frowned upon. In fact, it was referred to as emotional incontinence.
So basically, just peeing your face, essentially, like the equivalent of peeing your pants in public, it's the same.
Yeah. Tom Dixon, writing an article called On Tears, actually says that there's a Yiddish term that the translation of crying is pissing out of your eyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Moreover, if you consult the Treatise of Melancholy, a 1586 tome written by English clergyman and physician Timothy Bright, you will see him describe tears as, quote, a kind of excrement not much unlike urine. So the idea that's coming out of this is that to cry in public is to almost yourself in public. And it's seen as a weakness, a vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll get into some of that later, just the emotional communication of, you know, what are you saying to the world around you when you weep? So, yeah, it's interesting to see the various places where it's acceptable, the various times it's acceptable. But at the heart, we're dealing with a tear. Do we just have one type of tear? Do we have two? Do we have three? Is the stuff itself the same?
Yeah, let's look at the tear itself. We produce about 10 ounces of the stuff a day to help maintain our eyes. And these tears fall into three different categories. So the first is the basal tier. Now, this is a thin coating of three layers that help to keep dirt out and debris in check. And the first layer is the mucus layer, which keeps the tears in place. Mm-hmm. The second is the aqueous layer that keeps the eyeballs hydrated, and then it protects the cornea. And the third is the lipid layer that's a bit like an oil slick, and it keeps things nice and smooth on the surface. Now, the second kind of tear, this is where it gets even more interesting when you look at the reflex tears, because they are reacting and they're springing forth when they sense an irritant. And they come out in larger quantities. You've probably noticed before if you've ever gotten something in your eye. Mm-hmm. And the aqueous layer of these tears contains antibodies to stop any microorganisms in their tracks. Now, the third is emotional tears, right? And emotional tears act as mood stabilizers, and they contain higher levels of stress hormones like ACTH, which is cortisol, and encephalin, which is an endorphin and a natural painkiller. So how interesting that you are suffering from mental pain and you have a painkiller that's being released within your eyeball and shedding forth and purging this out of your system.
Huh. So with the first two cases, you can kind of think of it as the tier as security force. So you have your basic security force, mm-hmm. just out there to keep the peace. Then you have additional security force that comes in when things get a little hectic, a little extra irritants in the eye. And then that third area are kind of like the grief counselors, the stress counselors that run out to the eyeball in times of emotional conflict.
That's absolutely correct. All right, so now that we have that covered, we're going to take the manhole off of the skin here and go underneath into the waterworks and look at the specifics.
Yeah, grab Raquel Welch, grab Donald Pleasance, grab Coolio if you want. Think of it as a fantastic voyage. If we were to climb into a miniature submarine and enter through the eye, what would that consist of? Well, you have two small openings at your disposal here, and we call these the puncta. There's one in your upper eyelid, the upper punctum, and then the lower eyelid, the lower punctum. Okay, and if you look in the mirror, you can see these. You can, you know, pry your eyelid back and notice them there. That's where you're going to want to point your submarine. Follow those. Take either route, your choice, and you'll swim through twin tubes called the canalicus. And these connect to a fabulous place, probably a vacation spot, the lacrimal sac or the lacrimal lake, as it's sometimes called. All right. And, this is, you know, tier central. Now, if you were to keep going, there is the nasolacrimal duct that allows passage down into your nasal cavity. And this is interesting to note too, because if you've ever been, you know, especially with emotional tears, but also just, you know, irritants, you see pictures of people who are maced, footage, and, you know, there's a lot of nasal activity going on as well. So, the tear ducts and the nasal connection, it's right there. Now, how do the tears come out? Well, blinking and capillary action push the tears through the lacrimal drainage system. Your lids move evenly across your eyes, and the blinking pumps tears into the puncta, and they're drawn into the lacrimal sac, down the nose, etc.
I'm just trying to think about if this would be helpful to think about that whole process when you're trying to suppress tears. Have you ever been in that situation where you're like, I feel them coming.
Yeah.
You're not getting out. Uh-huh. Maybe if you could slow it down and even just imagine that lacrimal lake and say, okay, we are not taking from that lake.
Yeah.
It needs to keep its reserves.
Yeah. But the water level's rising in there, and the dam is going to overflow.
It may. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about good crying and bad crying.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. Why cry? Why do it? Well, as we've already touched upon, of course, part of it is just you always have tears in your eyes. If you had somebody that was so macho that they never had tears, their eyes would dry out and fall out of their heads, right? But the second area, environmental stimuli that are causing the tears to well up. Various irritants can cause the eye to well up with tears. Dirt, smoke, the fumes of an onion, an eyelash, a troublesome contact lens. We've all had cases where it's just that sometimes it's something you can't even tell what it was. Just some sort of speck of dust floating around in the air gets in there, and suddenly it's gushing. Also, cold days, windy days, you'll notice some extra tears in there because the tears also protect those eyes from getting too dry. So that's an area when you'll see some sort of weepy eyes on cold days, right? And then finally, allergies, infections like cold, pink eye, known as conjunctivitis, inflammations of the eye are going to cause it to become watery, as well as any kind of physical assault of your eyes is going to also reduce in tears if you get poked in the eye accidentally or intentionally.
Now, in terms of emotional crying, we all have had that moment before where we've cried and it felt great and we moved on. It was this release. And then we've all had that moment too where you've cried and we actually felt worse afterwards. And researchers at the University of South Florida, they were interested in finding out what makes a good cry good and a bad cry bad. And they looked at 3,000 crying-related experiments. And, you know, initially they said, okay, a lot of this has to do with the circumstance at the time, mm-hmm. who the person is, what they're doing, why they're crying. But they did tease out some more universal insights into this. Like, the majority of respondents reported improvements in their mood following a bout of crying. However, one-third reported no improvement, and a tenth felt worse after crying. So they drilled down a little bit more to figure out what was going on there. And they found out that those who cried and received support during their crying episode were the most likely to report improvements in mood as opposed to those who were alone, and especially those who were in a lab setting alone being videotaped, because then you bring up perhaps emotions like shame and embarrassment. Now, the other findings, crying caused increased heart rate and sweating, but the calming effect, like slow breathing, well, that out-trumped everything else, and it lasted much longer than the other negative effects. And those, that 10% that felt really terrible afterward, mm-hmm. those people tend to be people with anxiety or mood disorders, and they're, of course, least likely to experience positive effects of crying. In addition, and I thought that was just really interesting, this bit, the researchers report that people who lack insight into their emotional lives, now this is a condition known as alexithymia, actually feel worse after crying. And the idea is that for these people, they lack the emotional insight into a situation, and that could prevent the kind of cognitive change required for a sad experience to be transformed into something positive.
Okay. So again, if you think of it as sending in the grief counselors, sending in the stress counselors, if there's some sort of breakdown in your ability to actually reflect and crunch that information, then I can see where you would lose that therapeutic effect.
Yeah, because we've talked about this before. When you are trying to get through a difficult or painful situation, a lot of times you have to have the ability to reframe it. Mm-hmm. And you can only reframe it if you have insights into the problem mm-hmm. that you can come back to and say, ah, okay, I have a different perspective on this. But if you have this condition, then you just can't have that moment, that catharsis that would allow you that.
The idea that that of weeping uncontrollably, almost as if you've lost control of your bladder, your bowels, right? Well, there is one condition, an actual condition known as pseudobulbar effect, or PBA, which is also sometimes known as emotional incontinence. And according to NPR, 2 million people in the U.S. Actually suffer from this. It is a neurological disorder. I want to stress that, where it's neurological in nature. It's not an emotional issue. It's all in the wiring of your brain. And it's characterized by involuntary crying, uncontrollable episodes of crying, and occasionally it spills over into areas of laughter as well. But it occurs when disease or injury cause a malfunction in the brain circuit involved in expression of emotion. So we're talking about it appearing as a symptom of multiple sclerosis, ALS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, stroke, traumatic brain injury. And the outbursts can often be very disturbing, embarrassing to the person that's afflicted with it. It can hit like a seizure lasting for seconds or minutes, and it can happen several times a day. So it's, again, it's quite an ordeal to have to suffer through it as a symptom of a greater disease. But it's interesting that there is a treatment for an FDA-approved treatment out there called dextromethorphan, a key ingredient in cough medicine and the one that leads to recreational use of cough medicine in so-called robo-tripping, which we do not encourage you to do. And its use here in treating PBA actually came out of its out of researchers exploring its potential use as an ALS treatment. It actually didn't help in the treatment of ALS, but while they were exploring the options here, they observed that it cut down on emotional outbursts in ALS patients that were also suffering from PBA as a symptom.
Now, that's a scenario in which the person cannot help themselves. They are not trying to cry on purpose. Obviously, the wires are crossed. But if you look at Dutch psychologist Ad Vingerhout's work, he says that if you're someone who does not suffer from that and you're crying, it could be a kind of social signaling. He calls tears highly symbolic. And he and psychiatrist John Bowlby point to the early childhood mother-child bond at play, in which he says that, you know, crying plays a really critical role because it communicates suffering and it engenders empathy. So from an evolutionary biology perspective, Vingerhoots is basically saying that crying, shedding a couple of tears, is far safer for our ancestors, right? Than crying out, which a predator might hear.
Okay.
You know, a silent tear falling can communicate to any member of someone's family that they are suffering and they're in need of help. So he's coming at it from that perspective. And to support this, he points to the enlarged visual cortex in humans and primates. Now, this part of the brain is something that allows us to read really subtle facial signaling in the face, whether it's a micro expression, blushing, or tears. So he says that, you know, tears part and parcel of this kind of arsenal of ways that you can nonverbally communicate what's going on emotionally.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And it is an instant communication. I mean, you see somebody on the train, and they've got some tears in your eyes. You're instantly at least curious, if not compassionate, for that individual. Even with my son, two going on three, like, he sees another kid crying, he instantly, like, starts asking questions, like, what happened? What happened to that boy? You know, and so I definitely buy into some of these ideas of the social communication of tears.
Yeah, and Vingerhout says that if you look at people who are watching a Hollywood tearjerker, mm-hmm. in the studies that he's conducted, when they're doing this with a friend, they tend to cry and then have an improvement in mood, or report an improvement in, mm-hmm. mood. But when they watch the tearjerker alone, there's no improvement in mood or overall in his findings. So that, again, points to his idea that this could be social signaling, because if there's no one around to see it, it's kind of like a tree falling in the woods.
I'm saddened that the study didn't go into, look, what happens when you shed tears for a piece of media that you do not want to make you cry. You know what I'm saying?
Like, example?
Well, okay. Two pieces of media that I instantly can remember having shed a tear, gotten a little worked up over. In Mad Men, there was a character death in there that was really emotional, and that really choked me up. And I was like, all right, Mad Men, you're a great show. You're well put together. I'm totally okay with you tinkering with my emotions.
Okay.
But then once, and this was not like heavy weeping or anything, but I was watching Sons of Anarchy, and I had a little tear crawl down my face, and I'm like, Sons of Anarchy, you do not get to make me cry, but you know, kudos, you managed to do it. But I feel like there are other cases of that. Have you ever had that happen to you, where the media, maybe it's your mood or something, the media gets into you when you really would rather it not have that power over your emotions?
Yeah, it's usually more of the maudlin moments, mm-hmm. that I don't normally buy into, the sort of, you know, saccharine, sugary moments, yeah. that feel not very authentic.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while, it'll catch me unawares. Why am I crying about this Lifetime special? I'm just kidding. But, you know, some sort of piece of media that doesn't feel like it's earned it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
Hallmark card kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, you don't get my tears. And which, you know, makes you kind of wonder, are we the only animals, are we the only organisms on this earth who cry emotionally? And, you know, the jury is still out on this. We know that other animals cry, just not emotionally. So we're talking about apes and elephants, even camels.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Discovery News reported on a spate of elephants who were observed to cry after traumatic events. For instance, quote, rescuers of a male elephant brutally abused for 50 years in India claim that after the chains and spikes were removed from elephant Raju's legs, tears streamed down its face. And animal behaviorist Mark Beckoff says that some mammals may cry due to a loss of contact comfort, and that this could be a hardwired response to not feeling touch. So he's parsing it out more in physicality, in, mm-hmm. physiology, but that sort of boils down to emotional crying, right? Because,
yeah.
if touch is soothing, and soothing is playing into your emotional response, well, then they're all connected. That being said, the jury is out.
You know, at the top of this episode, you mentioned the drinking of tears like fine wine.
Yes.
And we're discussing the animal world, and we really need to point out that you do find tear vampires in the world. Specifically, tear-feeding moths and butterflies. You'll find these in Africa, Asia, South America. And they mainly feed on large, blasted animals, such as a deer, an antelope, a crocodile. They get in close. They drink some of that moist goodness, you know, as if it were morning dew, and then they get out of there. I mean, why not? It's there. It's liquid. It's drinkable. Drink it if you can and get out before something happens. But the most interesting of the tear vampires is actually a species of moth in Madagascar, discovered in 2006, and it drinks the tears of sleeping birds. And the name of the species is Hemiceratoides hieroglyphica. I do like the hieroglyphica part.
Sure,
there.
That's got panache.
It does. It does. And as you'll see, this is a creature that has some significant panache when it comes to stealing some tears. It's a delicate theft that involves a specialized harpoon-like proboscis that they insert under the eyelid of the sleeping magpie, robins, and Newtonia birds. And then this hooks into place, and scientists are unsure if there is some sort of chemical compound going on here as well to deaden the sensation of those hooks.
But, so they don't perceive them.
Right.
Yeah.
But at any rate, they hook into place with that proboscis, and then they slurp away at some tears. And they think this is probably to make up for a lack of salt in their diet, because as we mentioned earlier, there is salt in tears, about the same that you'll find in plasma. They drink it up, and they get out of there, and it's amazing. So kudos, hieroglyphica.
Stealthy stuff there.
Yeah.
Now, those are a kind of vampire preying on tears, but could you prey on tears of blood?
Ooh, you would have
you
to
could.
Be a very... You could. You would have to be a very specialized vampire. And as we discussed in our episode on vampire bats and the evolution of vampire bats, that's already a pretty rough road as it is.
Yeah, if you suffer from a very rare disorder called hemolacria, which causes tears that are partially or entirely made of blood, I urge you not to hang out near livestock, particularly in South America, because that is where a vampire bat may detect those tears.
Indeed. Now, we've known about this condition for a fair while. You'll see accounts of it from a 16th century Italian physician, Antonio Brassavola, who wrote about treating a nun who wept bloody tears when she was menstruating. Modern film fans probably remember this best as one of the quirks of Bond villain Le Chiffre in 2006 Casino Royale, played by Mads Mikkelsen. He would have a little bit of blood that would come out of his eye there at particularly poignant moments of the narrative. In most cases, what we're dealing with here, you're talking about it being a symptom of a head injury, a tumor, a blood clot, a tear in the tear duct, a common infection such as conjunctivitis, pink eye, that causes the bloody tear to well up. Now, there are other cases that have shown up over the years, even in recent years. There are two in Tennessee that popped up where it's a little harder to get to the truth of. And part of it is when we took you through the tear duct. And there's a lot of very small mechanisms going on there. So it's difficult to really get in there and do a concise study in all of these cases. But for the most part, we are talking about injuries and inflammations and infections. There are outlying cases that scientists continue to explore.
But can you imagine before science did explore it, this phenomenon would have looked otherworldly to people?
Oh, indeed. I mean, just the... We already have so much, and we've already built up so much supernatural wonder about blood, and then fair amount of wonder and awe and mysticism about tears, and have the two come together as one. I mean, that's crazy. What's going to happen next? Are they going to sweat blood too?
Well, if you're a hippo, right? Although it's not actual blood,
right?
Yeah,
but even that, the early analysts looked at that and they're like, "What's happening here? It's blood. Why is the creature a sadomasochist? I don't know.
Devil creature.
Yeah, indeed, the demonic hippo."
All right, guys, if you want to look further into crying, How Stuff Works has an article called "How Crying Works." So check it out.
It's a real tearjerker for sure.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And, hey, for the rest of what we've been doing over the years here, come on over to StuffToBlowYourMind.com. That's our mothership. That's where you'll find all the podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, links out to our social media accounts, you name it.
And if you have thoughts on ocular ejaculations, let us know. You can email us at BlowTheMind@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.